A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. You've got myself, Tommy Dasilo. You've also got Adam Knox over here on the couch.
That's me. Hello, world. And are you ready for me?
Okay, shut up. You've also got Ben Vanell.
Hello, world. Are you ready for me?
That's a good catchphrase.
A couple of the boys. Yep. Get around them. Around us as we sit here and bloody talk about some fucking games.
Yeah, we love games.
For roughly an hour.
But not sporting games, video games.
Do you like sports games?
I love sports games.
Do you? What's your favourite sports game? What have you got? I was looking at this the other day and I was trying to remember. I was trying to work out why you had two copies of NBA Live 15. But is that because we got sent them a year ago?
Yeah, right. Sent them to us.
My favourite sports video game of all time is probably Madden 25, which was the 25th anniversary of Madden. It's a fucking great sports game.
Really? Yeah. You like a bit of gridiron, do you?
Yeah, it's really, really good. Comprehensive, has the camp, like your do a season, follow your own team, develop players and all that shit.
Sounds boring as shit.
Oh, come on.
I used to play a lot of Pro Evolution Soccer on the PS2.
Oh, yeah?
It used to be like the rival to FIFA. It used to be a lot better than FIFA.
Yes.
FIFA kind of caught back up.
Yeah.
And I think FIFA is generally considered a little better now, but I haven't really played one in a while.
Are they still making Pro Evo?
Yeah, they are. I think that's the only thing Konami's making.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Another great one from my youth was FIFA 98, which was, I think, one of the World Cup years.
Is that the one that had Song 2 at the start?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I had that one on the Sega Saturn.
Wow.
Yeah. You had a Sega Saturn.
I won a Sega Saturn. Have I not told this story here before?
No, you certainly have not.
Okay, I'll tell this story. I won a Sega Saturn. Moving on. It's Civic Video in it would have been 1997, I guess.
Yeah.
This is already just such a retro story. It's got everything. Yeah.
So I went in to hire what would have been a retro, I don't know, probably Power Rangers or something like that.
Yeah.
And there was just like a little raffle thing and I got a card that said 00001. And I was like, well, okay, what does that mean? It means from Civic Video, I won a Sega Saturn, but there was a McDonald's across the street that was also in this competition for some reason.
What? Yeah.
That I
it's
also,
like a local community kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, it's like, hey, let's give a kid a too much stuff
right.
day.
Yep.
And so we had to go over to the McDonald's to claim the prize, and they're like, okay, so you get a Sega Saturn and a party for like 15 friends or whatever here at McDonald's for
Fuck.
Free.
Wow.
And I remember there was a music video at the time that where somebody did a really cool move where they ran up a wall and did a backflip.
Yeah, that's the Backstreet Boys. Everybody.
It might have been that.
Yeah.
I remember being on a street, not in a Frankenstein costume.
That was so dismissive. Ben very confidently said, "This is definitely what it was."
Yeah,
and then you just went, "It might have been that."
I think it actually wasn't that because I remember it happening on a street. And like maybe someone did
a
it in that,
street.
But the same move.
Yeah, this video clip was the one where there were all different horror
vampires
movies.
And werewolves. Yeah, there was none of that. It was outdoors. It was daytime.
Oh,
a vampire couldn't survive in that environment.
It was one of the werewolves.
Anyway,
is this how you won the Saturn from knowing exactly what video clip this was in?
No,
How old were you?
I was
in 1997.
I was 8 years old, and to express joy because I
10.
Thought that that.
11.
Running up a wall and doing a backflip was the ultimate expression of joy. I tried to do that in the McDonald's, but I couldn't do it. I'm not a fucking acrobat. So it just, I was just an 8-year-old kicking a wall for a while. Then they gave me a Sega Saturn, which I later sold at a independent video game shop in Mornington.
Oh, that's 100% profit, baby.
Yeah, baby.
So wait, I like that you're you've won the prize in the Civic video, and then you have a walk across the street. It's like you're in Frogger. You've got to get from one end to the other. Is that why they did it, to sort of simulate the video game experience?
I have no idea why they did it. They just like,
this is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Why are they why are they in cahoots with each other?
I don't know.
And you're saying like when local businesses team up. Cool. McDonald's is not a local business.
No, totally. I don't think it was a local business. I think it was like a thing of, hey, rent a video, then get your dinner from McDonald's and take it home. Like, that's what most people would have had to do. You know what I mean?
It just sounds so weird. Why would McDonald's go along
with
this?
Is Civic Video just buying a gift card or something?
No,
McDonald's,
they
I like
most
Civic going.
People wouldn't have won anything, right? So you have
to get
your
life,
ticket.
That's life, baby.
You get your ticket, you go across the street, and you're like, oh, I didn't win anything, but I'm in McDonald's now, so how about a quarter pounder? Let me just try and run up this wall real quick.
I like Civic offering you the suggestion of the hot tip of, how about you go get dinner at McDonald's? Gee, thanks a lot for fucking alerting me to the fact that McDonald's exists. Hey, you're doing some heavy lifting in there.
I just remembered when I was in high school, I actually did do the run up the wall backflip thing.
No, you didn't.
I did, but I had one person on either side of me holding my arm. I did it. And they like let go when I was in the air, and I did a backflip
this
and landed on my feet.
This is a story about you getting bullied.
I landed in a dumpster.
Or is this a story about half an hour before you lost your virginity? So what are we here? What are we talking about today? We should go into a little bit of rumor mill.
Oh yeah.
There's a couple of NX. Oh sorry, Force of Habit, Nintendo Switch.
Thank you.
Rumors floating around out there that I read last night. Emily
Please.
Rogers. Now.
I don't think either of us have read these rumors.
Okay.
Knox.
No, I
Please
don't know
educate
what you're
us, Tommy.
About.
By the way, who is this Emily Rogers person? What's her credentials?
Is that her name? The one who like keeps leaking stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she,
I don't know.
A lot of stuff that she said in the lead up to the reveal of the Switch kind of turned out to be true. And
yeah.
She's kind of a very trusted source for the most part on these kinds of things. I couldn't find out anything about who she's actually claiming to be. Like
Miyamoto in a wig, probably.
Fuck, that'd be great. Like, anyway, the two big ones that are going around, that one of which is gathering a lot of steam, is that Breath of the Wild, the New Zelda game, will not be ready for launch.
Wow.
Yeah. Which
oh, really?
Which is pretty big.
Yeah.
That sucks,
Yeah, that would really suck if that's not a day one.
So will it be out on the Wii U though, or is that
this,
getting delayed
know.
As well?
I mean, I guess they can just delay the Wii U version, and who gives a shit? Because it's just
that's true.
It's just, you know,
old out of production Wii U.
Yeah, totally. Like, I don't think it matters so much. I think the reason I read was that it's something to do with the localization. Just takes ages because they've got to do translated into.
Right. So it might be ready for the Japanese launch.
I mean, I guess that would, a game like that, there's a lot of text in it, like it would take a long time.
Yeah.
But also, it's not like they didn't know that was coming.
Yeah, every game takes a long time.
Totally.
And it is actually rare that a game gets delayed, so this is, yeah.
So, I don't know, I mean, that's not a good sign for them.
Certainly not.
If that isn't in the launch window. But then the other rumor that kind of goes hand in hand with that is, and again, this is from Emily Rogers, that she, again, I don't know where this is coming from, but she reckons that Mario game that we saw in the trailer is basically done. So she reckons that's a big chance of that could be a launch title.
Right.
Like, it's far enough along that it could conceivably be a launch title. And also, that makes sense because there's less localization in that in a Mario game. Generally, there's not big chunks of story and text.
What does Wahoo mean?
Well, that guy got the arse, didn't he?
Who?
The guy who did the
Charles Martinet.
Yeah,
is that
yeah.
confirmed? Is that real?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
That was just from his Facebook. I think. I don't know if Nintendo said anything about it, but
his
Facebook,
I never read anything more about that.
He updated to being like former voice of Mario.
Yeah. Well, but he's also an old man, so I'd say that's probably more likely. That it's just a dumb old cunt not knowing how to use Facebook.
Yeah, put the wrong date in. Yeah.
Lovely photos.
He clicked it by accident and then saw what he'd done and was like, "What?" So that's kind of interesting stuff. I mean, I don't know if if that means that if Zelda's not going to come out on day one, but Mario is, hey, that's fine by me.
Yeah. From my perspective, I would prefer a new Mario game. Yeah,
and we were talking about this after we after we broke down the Switch reveal trailer,
yeah,
it does look like it's pretty. That kind of holds up with what's in the trailer, because we were saying that the what's in the trailer is very specific.
Yes,
and if you didn't have anything really ready to go, why wouldn't you just do up just a video of Mario running around a field?
Yeah.
But what's in that trailer is very specific.
Yeah. And it looks like a level. It looks
unique
like a
looking.
Level.
It looks like it's done. It looks like it's very fleshed out. So,
totally.
Look, I hope that's true. I hope that I don't mind waiting another month for Zelda. I would love to have, as a fan, I would love to have a new Mario on day one. And I think just also as a strategy for them
totally.
To launch with, like, you know, the 64 with Mario 64. Yeah. I would like
Nintendo's
to see
Nintendo's back.
It.
Like, yeah, that's yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I would like to see them do that for a bunch of different reasons. So who knows? We'll find out in just fucking 3 short months.
Yeah, that's insane.
When they fucking deem it appropriate to tell us what they're fucking doing
it's
up there.
It's only like 2 months now. January 12th.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It's still so, fucking ages.
Yeah. 8 weeks, you know, that's anything can happen in 8 weeks.
Sure, well, but so close to the actual launch of the console.
That's, like, well, it's basically, so then it's 2 months after that it's out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're kind of, we're 4 months away and then halfway, but that's crazy.
It's yeah.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah. I don't know how you stir up enough interest between January and March that every family's buying a Switch.
Shit happens quickly these days. Like, you know, Beyonce's Lemonade comes out. I know that's like the hacky example to go to, but you can make something come out and get attention really quick.
Yeah, do you reckon that maybe...
For example, Zip.
Do you think that their strategy is relying on people's attention spans being shorter than before?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe that... Yeah, that's,
yeah,
that's not
maybe
crazy.
Also something to do with, like, them going, well, we don't really need to convince people to upgrade from a Wii U because no one has one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who gives a shit?
Yeah.
To just say...
Yeah.
Mario, I'm pretty confident in saying... The Mario Kart 7 Deluxe, you know, port from the Wii U will be a day one.
Yeah.
So if they're launching that day one, hey everyone, Mario Kart, and you can get it on the go, you don't need a long time for that to sink in with people.
Totally. Yeah. I wonder how that mini NES thing is selling.
Well, so I'll tell you how it's selling.
Yeah,
fucking
Tommy and I.
Yeah, right. So there you go.
Every time EB or whatever, where or Amazon...
JB,
every time
everyone.
They put up a new shipment of them for pre-order,
just for pre-order,
their
yeah.
site crashes immediately.
Wow.
People, this is weird thing that they're doing where there's huge demand for it and Nintendo are not, kind of seems deliberately not meeting this demand.
Yeah, it's inflated, like it's falsely inflated.
But then people talk about it more and they're saying Nintendo again. And then on January the 12th, you go, oh, you like Nintendo?
Yeah.
How about you have this new fucking Nintendo?
It is weird for a thing that I just kind of viewed it initially, and I still do, as just an easy moneymaker for them. Easy cash grab. Put this thing out. You know, it's not for people like us. It's for the holiday market. It's a good gift. So if you're doing it as a cash grab, fucking why not put, like, it's like putting up an app and only limiting it to 500 downloads. Like, just pump out as many of them as you can and make that fucking money. Make bank.
Well, I'm starting to think now that their strategy, if I was at the top of Nintendo, if I was Miyamoto, I would be...
Do the voice.
It's a me.
Yeah. The strategy should be, and there was a hint at this demographic being targeted in the Switch reveal trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Strategy should be nostalgia.
Yeah.
It should be the Nintendo Switch, fucking red, white, and grey, Mario launch title.
Yep.
Nintendo, mini Nintendo Classic NES, whatever the fuck it's called, for Christmas.
So it's called the Nintendo...
Mini classic NES. Yeah.
Yeah.
And follow that baby up with Super Mario Run.
Well, yes, but we'll move on to that in a second. Before we do, what do you reckon about this? I reckon next 6 months, Nintendo Mini Classic SNES.
Oh, yeah.
They've got to be thinking that.
Maybe not that quickly.
Maybe 1 year.
Definitely.
Yeah,
yeah,
maybe next
but they've
year.
Got to be pumping that out.
Nintendo
they're
mini,
nuts if they don't.
Mini classic virtual boy.
I'd be more...
It could only go over one eye because it's so
to
small.
Be honest, I'd be way more... if I had a bit of... If I just saw one in a shop and I'd had a bit of money come in just to, you know, whatever. If I had a little extra rattling around in the old,
extra hundo,
in the old
right?
pocket there.
I think it's 100,
I don't even know what it... Yeah, I don't even know how much...
It's 60 in America, so it's probably...
About 100 here.
I'd
probably... I might maybe get a NES Classic Nintendo Classic Mini NES. Classic NES.
Yeah.
But I would definitely be pre-ordering a SNES version on day one.
Yeah, right.
It's way more, yeah. Something I'm way more interested in.
Yeah, if they did a 64 version as well, that sort of stuff is...
It's, well, that's it. Yeah. I mean, that's what I was thinking about.
Just keep going.
What's the tech? Yeah. I mean, could... Yeah, I mean, if they can make a NES one, it's surely... They'd be able to make a SNES one, but yeah, I wonder if they would be able to do the tech.
I reckon.
Almost definitely. You can emulate those things on those little Raspberry Pi computers.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah,
because they're not bothering with cartridges or anything. It'll just be a computer chip,
and
basically.
The NES has 30 games. You know, they could do a 64 version that only has 10 on it and people
you know
would still
what
buy
they'll
it.
Probably do before doing a SNES one is like a second NES one with 30 more games.
Yep. Yep, an expanded one or a part two, you know, like just the
collect them all. Hey, guess what? This one is the different colors.
Exactly. Yeah, the Famicom colors.
That's the weird. I hope they do that. I hope they release the Japanese one.
Yeah.
But that's the weird thing is that it's not expandable. You can't put anything new on it. But
because Nintendo want to be in control. They want to be able to sell more.
Then they're just opening them. And on the one hand, who gives a fuck? But they're just opening themselves up to. Oh, hey, here's an expanded one that's got 50 games on it instead of 30, and people who bought the other one day one going, geez, fucking thanks a lot.
But people, people do that anymore. People just forget. People just cop it. People cop it. People want the extra one. Like,
yeah.
I think it is for people between, what, like 28 and 38 who will have the disposable income to buy all of them.
Yeah, true.
Or even older, you know. 45, hey, take your pick.
Hey, mate.
53, what are you, 69?
Yay. Cool. I reckon
children
out,
from ages 1 to 100.
I mean, maybe bring out a version that's got Duck Hunt on it with and package the gun in.
The light gun,
The power glove. Bring back
that
the power
little
glove.
Robot boy.
Yeah, R.O.B.
I'm talking
about the one from the film AI.
David, played by Haley Joel Osment. In there. Yeah, I genuinely think now Nintendo's strategy should be nostalgia.
Yeah.
Just rehash, recycle, like upcycle, upgrade, all that kind of shit. Yeah.
So that you touched on it before, but Super Mario Run, they've just announced a bit more info about that, which is that Mario's first foray into mobile gaming.
Yes.
Which, I mean, that's an incredibly simplistic design. It's targeting, like, everyone has a fucking phone that can play a game on it.
Totally.
So it's you know, there probably is a huge generation of people out there that haven't, you know, that grew up with the 64 and then went over to PlayStation 2 and have never gone back in, never had a Wii, never had a Wii U. So they've missed the last, 10 plus years of Mario games. Mm. And so this is like, I think this is going to tap right into that for
absolutely.
All them. Hope, I'm
pun
sure
intended.
I was really hoping we'd get through that.
Ring, 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 ring. Oh, my phone's ringing. Hello. It's a me.
Oh, my God. I mean, maybe.
Oh, God, that was funny.
I mean, I think this is just going to be, I'm hoping that, I'm sure they're hoping that this, like people getting Super Mario Run who've sat out Nintendo consoles for a while, that the timing of it, like it reminds them how much they love Mario and
absolutely.
Nintendo, and then that's perfectly timed for the Switch coming out.
Yep, definitely.
What are you chuckling at?
Who's you saying reminds you how much of you? Love Mario.
Yeah. He said he was just going to the shop for cigarettes. He never came back.
Down the street just jumping over bins. And
they've just announced a bunch more information about it. So December 15th.
That little video before.
Yeah, they put out a little introductory video. So it's free to get just the base level of it, but then $15 and you've got the whole package, which includes a competitive mode. A kingdom builder thing that looks kind of cool, like a bit similar to like the Simpsons Tapped Out kind of game where you, I'm sure it's like you play the single player game, you unlock items to build a little town with.
Yep.
And it looks fun. It looks great.
It looks good.
It's gonna make them so much money. Again,
it's what the new Super Mario Bros. Games should have always been, you know, like packaged as like. They work fine on like the Wii and the Wii U, but you want that experience on a phone. Like
Totally.
You don't want an expanded experience of that anymore. Like you don't want the 2D games.
They've always been the weakest like branch of...
So chuck them on a phone and they're not so weak. They're a good phone game.
The first one that came out on the DS was really cool because they hadn't done one in ages.
Right.
And then it
I guess
sort
then
of,
that's on the DS, which is a better platform yeah, for it.
And
yeah.
then it was just overkill, like, you know, the Wii U launching with one. And it was great, like, but still I was just, you know, when 3D World came out, I was like, this is the shit. This is yeah. what I want. That this is what I want great. On a console. Like,
yep.
save them for the handhelds. But yeah, hopefully this just... They can just release kind of updates and stuff for this yeah. on the phone and hopefully... Yeah. But the problem is those ones sell really well. They sell better than the 3D ones.
Right.
The two... which is right. why they keep making them, which is such a bummer.
Maybe it's that nostalgia thing, like the people buying them.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
There's a multiplayer aspect to them as well
that doesn't
really exist in the others. Oh, well, it does in 3D World actually, so I'm wrong.
Maybe you should shut your fucking mouth.
but if that comes out in a month, we'll just talk about it in a month, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll play it.
But it's cool to have a bit more info about it. Mm.
The trailer looks like a fun game from...
Good trailer, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like they're putting extra cool stuff in there. I'm really hoping that there's some kind of mode you unlock where you can put like retro skin on it. Like you can, Mario Maker, how you can switch between all of them.
I would think that would be something they'd want to charge you for because... I think I would
that'll
pay
be an
for
update yeah. along the line. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who knows? I'm sure they're pretty good with that stuff. Mm. Usually, again, it's all nostalgia.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'll touch on this briefly because I haven't played a great deal of it. But
he's touching his dick. That's my second.
No, I said not a great deal. Animal Crossing New Leaf on the 3DS.
Oh yeah.
They brought out an update a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Like a game
Isn't
that's
that game
like
3 years
it's
old.
Yeah, 3 years old.
I've got that game. That's when I bought a 3DS and didn't buy any other games for it.
So the update is really cool. Like it's such a weird thing that they did.
What is it?
Yeah.
So
what is the update?
Basically, the update is it changes. It makes it a lot easier to decorate your room, to put your furniture in your room and stuff like that. There's a new area where you can buy new furniture and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What else? You can sell your whole town and just get a shitload of money for it.
Yeah. Just like start
and start
again.
From scratch, with a fuckload of money.
Yeah.
You can buy like a Wii U and a 3DS for your house and then play little mini games on them.
Oh, cool.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
What else? There's heaps. It's actually a pretty chockers update. It's actually, and it was really cool to go back in and play it and have an excuse to play it again. I was like, oh, that's right. I really like this game. It's really cute and fun. But, you know, with that, our friend of the show and previous guest, Andrew Levins, was saying he went back into his town and remembered how 3 years ago he thought it was a cool idea to name his town after his dog that died.
Oh, man.
And and mine is like I named my town after an in-joke with me and my then-girlfriend.
Oh, Tommy.
And I was trying to get her to play it, and she has like a house that's in – because you can have two people in the same village.
Right.
So she has a little house that's in my town that I want to fucking bulldoze and get rid of. So yeah, that was it's
but what if she comes back?
It is an interesting thing to go back in on a game from because you could personalize so much and see like, oh, that's what I thought I would make my little character look like 3 years ago and what I wanted to name my town. What was your town called?
I don't know. I'll have to go back in, I'll update it.
It's really worth it. It's kind of a cool thing to do. Like it's I don't quite get why it was worth it for them to devote resources to something for 3 years ago, but the fact that they did is really cool. Again, it's an example of when they do stuff right, they do it really well. Like it's cool to just as a little nice treat for the fans.
Yeah.
No one new is going to buy the game because of this update, but you know, yeah.
Yeah, there must be someone in Nintendo in the development team just being like, this is my favorite game, this is my property that I want to drive.
Or just like the last soldier after World War II. Wait, we finished developing that? Wait, what are you talking? I've been in the jungle
on an island
making
in the Philippines.
These dumb little chairs for ages.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of new villages and stuff.
Right.
Oh, actually, you know why it is? It's because of, so you can scan amiibo and you unlock different things by scanning amiibo in the game. And you can have, I think like Wolf Link, if you've got that amiibo, you can actually have Wolf Link running around in your town.
All right.
So I think that's why it is. It's to, and the fucking cards, the amiibo cards that no one gave a fuck about, I think it's to push that.
Right,
it's
to remind people to buy some amiibos.
I forgot that that's kind of the main part of it. So yeah, I guess that's, and they figured we may as well just chuck some extra shit in here.
Oh, that's cool. That's still cool that they did that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet.
What have you guys been playing?
I've been playing a whole bunch of stuff. I've actually got a. I don't know if we can think of a name for this segment.
Oh, here
where
we go.
I've made an error.
Oh.
Ben's done a whoopsie.
Or maybe I've jumped the gun.
Okay.
Jumping the gun, this okay. segment is called.
I don't like that name. We're going to go back and correct that later.
Okay. In next week's episode of Ben's Done a Whoopsie.
Now you're talking. Okay.
So I played episodes 2 and 3 of Batman the Telltale series.
Yep. And what whoopsie did you do?
Well, I
don't like the whoopsie thing anymore either.
Did you jump the gun on liking that name, Adam?
Oh, now Batman back villain? To liking Jump the Gun.
Is this a new Batman villain, the whoopsier?
Yeah. I trashed Batman episode 1 mm-hmm. On this famously on this podcast. I said it was boring. I said the Batman mythos was played out.
Mm-hmm.
I said the controls were bad. I still think the controls are pretty bad. They still have the thing where you use a joystick to move a circle on the screen into a ring yeah. on another side of the screen, so you'd have to drag it yep, across yep. and press a button, which is a horrible mechanic. But apart from that, episodes 2 and 3, the story's better. It improves. It's a story that is new. It's not mm-hmm. been done in comics or anything, so you can't actually predict it. Whereas in the episode 1, I kind of thought I knew exactly where it was going.
Mm-hmm.
Like the kind of the direction, the cinematic, you know, aspect of these games is ramped up in episode 2 and 3. It's cool. Like, it's good. The voice acting's good.
Yep.
The visuals are good. There's some pretty good twists and turns. Episode 3 especially. I'm actually really enjoying
it. You're back
it
in.
Now. Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like Telltale maybe does that a fair bit. That's why I don't like to jump in on these games before like all of the episodes
sure,
are out.
Which is probably a good strategy.
Yeah.
Because I did that with The Wolf Among Us, which was, again, the first game I played yeah. of theirs, and just played all the way through in pretty much one night.
Well, The Walking Dead ones, from memory, I'm pretty sure the first episode always kind of weak because there's just a lot of setup to do and, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same with almost everything where you're like, hey, work through the first little bit and then it's fun.
Sure, sure. But, and with when you buy one episode of these and you play it for 2.5 hours or whatever and you end up being like, well, I feel like I just got introduced to this and there's nothing more for me to play.
Totally.
It's a bit, you feel a bit empty.
Well,
but,
that's why
yeah.
I didn't get Hitman.
Yeah, right.
But that's pretty much all out now, so I'm going to get Hitman soon. I'm interested in that.
Yeah.
But that's cool. So Batman, good?
Yeah, yeah, it's good. It's good. It's better than... I like The Wolf Among Us. I thought Walking Dead was okay, and I think it's probably in between mm-hmm. those two. Oh. Yeah.
So they're still coming out, right?
Yeah,
they're
so still, up yeah. to episode 3 are out, and mm-hmm. there's 4 and 5 to go.
All right, cool,
yeah.
cool.
That reminds me of news that happened
yeah.
this week. Telltale was doing a Marvel thing. And they revealed that it's Guardians of the Galaxy that they're going to do something with.
Oh. So like a tie-in
no idea.
Series?
All I know is the headline, Telltale Games Secret Marvel Project Revealed the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
So either they're making a Guardians of the Galaxy game or with the money from the Batman game, they've been going, hey, in secret, we've been preparing to save the galaxy from everything that's going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I can see that.
We're the ones to do it.
That's interesting if they're going to be in bed with DC and Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah. The crossing the battle
that,
lines.
Yeah, that seems weird that either of them would want that to happen.
Mm.
They have such a monopoly on like this tie-in game stuff.
Totally.
They have
the HBO
every fucking
stuff, yeah.
License that's out there.
They must just sign like non-exclusive contracts or something.
Maybe they're super cheap.
But if you hold the license and you want that game to be good and people to buy it, like who else are you going to go to?
That's true.
Really, the only people that
have
proven track record of doing it really well.
Yeah, that's and I guess if they when they signed up with DC, they must have just been like, you have to allow us to do Marvel stuff or any other comic.
Yeah,
you know, like
totally.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like what's Fables? Who's Fables printed by?
Vertigo, maybe? Yeah.
But that's an imprint of DC.
That's true, yeah.
So that's, that's interesting.
But that's cool. I don't know if I'd play
that. I don't particularly like the Guardians of the Galaxy that much.
Yeah, it was fine. Like, I think I went and saw it with a friend of the show, Nick Mason.
Oh, yes.
And friend of the show who's never been on and never will be on, Timothy Clark.
He was on actually briefly once because he walked through the room.
Yeah, you used to live with him and he's in the background of a couple of early episodes of the show.
Yeah, that's right.
What, What about you, Noxy? What have you been playing?
I have been playing a lot of very similar futuristic shooters.
Okay.
I played through Titan, just like I played some of the multiplayer of Titanfall 2, and it's really, really good. But I finished the single player mode of that and of Call of Duty Infinite Warfare.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Get ready to compare and contrast.
Okay. What's this segment called?
It's called Compare and Contrast.
I think Adam's made a whoopsie.
They are both futuristic shooters about a sort of frontier kind of exploring sect of
So this is
humanity.
The comparing part of the segment?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
The contrast will come later.
Okay, well, give me a bit of warning when you get it, because I find
I'll
it very...
When I slip into it.
fuck.
Then it's like the frontier versus the establishment sort of.
Right.
Get ready to contrast.
Okay, I'm strapped
Let everyone turn up the contrast on your TV.
But so, like...
Until you can see all the bars quite faintly. What's with that at the start of games, by the way? That little thing where you fucking calibrate your TV.
Barely visible.
How about you get the colours right when you fucking make the game?
Yeah.
Yeah. About time someone said it to him.
It's so weird. You never used to get it as an option, and now it's like the first thing that you do is, like, align the screen.
It's for
How's
people with...
the screen
with...
not already properly aligned?
I don't know. It's for people with, like, stupidly expensive TVs that have to be, like, constantly calibrated, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, it tends to always just be correct when I do it.
Yeah,
so
Anyway.
I'll just push
out. Proceed.
So to contrast between the two things, in Call of Duty you play as the establishment, in Titanfall 2 you play as the
frontiersman.
The frontiersman. Now, you'll see a few more differences. I'm going to stop doing it like this.
Like a TED Talk.
But anyway, they're both about, like, that you've both got a sarcastic robot buddy.
Yep.
You've both got,
Fuck,
like,
hasn't that become a trend?
Yes.
It really has. Yeah. And the Titanfall 2 one actually isn't that sarcastic. He's quite sweet.
This
he's
is
almost
a contrast.
Like if a, like a Pixar sort of...
Oh, yeah.
You know, like
if the lamp came to life.
Yeah, like talked. A gentle giant thought it, sort of thing.
Did you guys play Borderlands 2?
Yeah,
Couldn't make it very far into that because the fucking robot in that drove me crazy.
Yeah, me too. I played a couple hours and
wise ass robot
was out.
Not into it.
Fucking Wall-E cunt.
Yeah.
So anyway, they both have wall running and all this stuff. Titanfall 2, really, really fun.
Yeah.
Really creative the whole way through. I think it's great. If you like shooters, then you should play it. It's a really fun single player.
I was listening to the latest episode of the Weekly Planet, our buddies over there, and James was mentioning that he played Titanfall 2 and talked about a very interesting sounding segment using...
I didn't want to talk about that specifically, not to ruin it for people. So thanks, cunt. You've jumped the gun.
I'll cut it out then.
Yeah. That's the coolest part of the game. Or
I'll bleep it out so you can say that and
it's really
no one
cool.
will know.
There's one button prompt that comes up that you're just like, oh yeah, fuck yeah. This
is
great.
Cool.
It's a really, really fun game. Surprisingly well written. Call of Duty.
Yes.
Fucking man. I have some genuine problems with what that game is about and what it thinks about war and shit. And like those games have been like that a little bit, like very hoorah, you know.
Absolutely they have,
let's
go.
But this one...
Yeah, probably funded by the military, I'm sure.
I'm going to spoil this, but guess what? It's not that good, so don't worry about it.
Okay. Call of
Duty,
not that good.
If you don't want to listen, we'll skip ahead. Kit Harington is the main villain dude.
Fuck that.
He is terrible. He is a bad actor in Game of Thrones. He's my least favorite thing about that show.
Me too.
He always looks sad. He always just looks a little bit mopey. His eyebrows are wrong.
Yes.
And they just go a little bit upwards in the middle.
Yep.
And it's a negative thing if you're an actor.
Yeah.
He's always portraying an emotion that doesn't fit any of the scenes. But anyway.
Yeah.
You are in this...
If you eat a bloody redhead's puss, you want to look happy. You know that scene when he ate that redhead's puss?
In a way, aren't we all eating the redhead's puss?
So... I don't know how to turn back to this, but...
From what? Oh, from us talking about eating a redhead's puss.
From eating a redhead's puss. I don't know how to go back into talking about a military game.
Anyway, my ex-wife.
You're all like this... you're Earth, basically. You're all the Earth people, and you're fighting against basically the people who live on Mars, who for some reason
the red planet
super evil.
The red puss planet.
The red puss... Yeah, imagine eating Mars's puss.
That's a mission to Mars.
Speaking of work, rest and play.
I had no idea what that meant for a second and then remembered that Mars was a confectionery. Anyway.
Now, aren't you glad I made that dumb joke?
Not really.
It's my favourite thing that's ever happened on this.
It's made it very difficult to make the statement about the military. the negative. Anyway.
Tell you what, finding the clitoris can be a bit of a fucking military operation, if you know what I'm saying.
Talk about black ops.
Oh. Oh, God damn it. I'm just annoyed because I don't have any.
I'm trying to Boy, think I'll of, say.
I'm trying to think of a military word that rhymes with labia. We liberated... Oh, it's Libya. We can't... That's too much. Anyway. You're fighting this evil, these evil Martians who are absurdly evil.
Are they...
And
are they
never explain
are
why.
Are they aliens or are they people from
Mars? No, they're humans who just live... It's way in the future and they've lived on Mars and for some reason hate Earth now. And like when you die, you know how in Call of Duty games when you die... It'll often show a quote,
yes,
but like from FDR saying something, yes, or whatever, or yep, like God. Albert Einstein going, hey, war's shitty.
Yep.
And this one, it's all like this fake, all these fake Martians. And every quote is like, truth is the enemy of power. And like, victory is the only thing that matters. We're going to destroy Earth. And it never explains what their fucking problem is or how this huge group of people turned evil.
Right. Right. And you played it all the way through.
Yes.
You would think if that was the way that they were positioned at the start, there would be some kind of interesting reveal at the end that's like, Earth fucked them
and
or something.
I was looking to that and there's nothing.
That's terrible.
So anyway, you play as... Earth, but America.
Yep.
And you go out there and you fight them. And the single player is kind of fun. At points, you do these like side missions and stuff that are kind of repetitive, but it's a nice little change of pace.
Mm.
And you fly around in a ship that isn't actually that fun to fly and shoot in.
Yeah.
But some of the missions are kind of fun. But anyway, at the end, everybody dies. Everyone who you've gotten to know during the game, but in like a heroic way. So they're like, oh, I sacrifice myself for the good of the country.
Is there any slow motion?
Oh, heaps of slow motion. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Boy, there's so much slow motion, I'd be eating a puss. I couldn't do one. I don't know how to do those jokes.
Wow. Nice.
Anyway.
What a joke to me. Very serious topic.
Yeah.
Very dear to my heart.
So anyway, they all die in a very heroic way and are like, how great are we for dying for our country or planet?
Right.
And then at the end, during the credits, you can push on the D-pad or the buttons to hear these like pre-recorded, if I die, I want to tell my wife that I love her and my daughter, be beautiful, and you know, your daddy's little girl. He says this shit.
His daughter's name's Be Beautiful.
Yeah. But he, like, he said that one of them goes to his daughter, like, you'll always be daddy's little girl, and to my son Noah, get out there and be a man, son, and all this shit.
Fuck.
And it is the most fucking gross, like, over sexification of sacrificing yourself for your country. You
sure.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it's basically military propaganda.
Yeah.
Like, to an extreme degree that series hasn't even been before. And it really fucking pissed me off.
Yeah.
It was like this bizarre, like... And it's about Mars.
You're really
and shit.
High strung over this.
Yeah.
I.
Sounds like you need your pussy eaten.
Need my pussy eaten.
Calm down.
It's a really weird tone, and I didn't like
Come
it.
Come on, boys, sign up for the front lines.
Well, and it's crazy. It's like. So you're
it's
playing
weird that it
as...
doesn't get to the end of the credits and then just automatically direct you to the website to sign up for the army.
It's that close.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane.
I said like it's funded by the military. Like a lot of the Michael Bay Transformer movies are funded by the military.
Oh, really?
So I don't think it's out of the question that something like Call of Duty would be funded by the military.
Because
they give them like...
If it's not, it's just the culture that we have at the moment, you know,
sure,
or particularly America.
Yes,
but the fact that we have that culture is why it would be so easy for them to sneak in and go, hey, we have a bit of extra money to get this over the line.
Totally.
It's just, and it seems silly to say it about a thing that's set like 500 years in the future or whatever and has Kit Harington being unnecessarily evil. Like, obviously it's not a big old work of art, but like... It feels so strange, and it's almost worth looking at it just to see. I want to know if other people had the same reaction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm assuming some people would. I'm not that unique that I would be the only person to feel a certain way.
Well, maybe.
I disagree. I think you're a beautiful snowflake.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to hear.
So that's interesting because So you know the movie Starship Troopers is a good satire of a future, you know, a world in which the Earth is basically a fascist state. Uh-huh. But the movie's a satire. The book is a straight up like pro-fascist book.
Right.
It envisions a world which is united by the military service. Yeah. And you can't be a citizen unless you've been in the military and all that kind of stuff. Right. And it sounds like this Call of Duty game is much more on par with that.
Kind of, yeah. But the strange thing is that they try to paint the Martians as being wrong for, like, having mandatory military service and all this stuff.
Right.
Like, the little quotes come out, it's like, military service is mandatory from the ages of 12 to 35 in the, I think they're called the SDF.
Right.
But then you're also all in the military, and everyone on Earth is also all in the military.
But that's, I think that what that's doing is painting the good guys in a, like, where the Allies in World War II, like, it's good to volunteer. It's good to sign up, voluntarily join the military and be on the good guy's side.
I mean, it's such a strange thing because for an American thing as well, the way that they heroically win at the end is by literally flying a plane into a building. Like that, wow. It's a spaceship and it's a space building.
Yeah.
But that's how they win. They heroically sacrifice themselves in a plane flying into a building.
Fuck.
It's like, what the fuck are you trying to
do? That is so psychologically troubling for
It's really, really, really weird.
Fuck.
Well, sounds, everything
but Titanfall 2 is great.
Everything you're saying, it sounds like it's fine.
It's fine. No, it's kind of bad. And honestly, like Call of Duty's stuck in a bit of a rut. For the last, like, I really hated
that's
the last
it. I mean,
one.
But
the,
all that series has been is like, I'm sure there's thousands of dumb fucks out there who it's their favorite game.
Maybe. And like, I still enjoy playing shooting games. Like, I like them. I enjoy shooting games.
Yeah, you like
line up discs on a wall and I fire at them.
Nice trench coat.
That's why I hate digital games. It's very difficult to shoot them. Anyway, the multiplayer I tried a little bit of and it's the same kind of. And
right.
It's all very, very similar to before and I think it's just getting a bit too much at this point where I may opt out next year.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And I like the
big
only reason
call.
I got this one is because we do this podcast, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, if you're done going on and on and on about pussy for 15 fucking minutes. This week I played Gravity Rush.
Yeah.
So Gravity Rush 2, I didn't know anything about this series. The first thing I saw of it was the kind of big reveal during E3 in Sony's press conference.
Yep.
They had stuff about the second one that's coming out and I just thought, oh, that looks kind of cool. That art style is pretty interesting.
Mm.
And so I finally got around to going in on the first one, which is on the PSN store.
Yeah.
It was more into
the PNS store.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
Penis.
Yeah.
Well, the pussy jokes are fine, but I can't make a penis joke.
Again, not a joke. Very serious.
It's a remastered version of a game that originally came out on the PSP or Vita, whatever the fuck.
PS Vita,
is. So basically,
that was a dumb name, by the way. Every time I hear the word Vita, sounds very silly.
PSP as well sounds like a computer port or something.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's all
I'm shit. More into the PNS.
All right.
So the story of it is you're this girl with amnesia who kind of wakes up, doesn't know where she is.
Yep.
And she discovers she can shift gravity. So basically, we haven't done this for a while, but people, long-time listeners of the show, are big fans of when we try and describe an in-game mechanic.
Yeah, right.
Strap in, because here comes a good one.
Yep.
So you basically, you run around this town. If you push R, you kind of freeze gravity and you start floating and you then
use... there goes gravity. If it did that every time you push the button,
yeah.
That sounds like the best game ever.
Classic.
Yeah, there's always that in the background.
you then use the control stick to kind of like move. You've got like a target on screen and so you're now floating.
In 3D space.
Yeah, you can aim it wherever you want and then you hit R again and you float towards it.
Oh, yeah.
So you can kind of use that to, say, aim yourself at the wall of a building. You'll shoot towards it and then you'll start – and then you can run up it.
Right.
Sort of like reorient gravity towards.
For the most part, yeah. And you can also use this to – like when you're fighting enemies, so you can jump up into the air, use gravity to kind of get yourself up in the air and then attack from in the air. Your attacks are more powerful if you go from up in the air.
Right.
So if you press square, it's like a kick that goes straight down. And so once you – it's really good at kind of like guiding you – sounds very complicated, but it does do a very good job of kind of teaching you the mechanic very early on, like the early challenges. So you like you find a little place to live in the sewers, and then your first couple of missions are just going around the town getting furniture to put in your house. And
right.
You can kind of... You
I did not expect that to be the first mission.
You can create a field around you that kind of that drags everything along with you.
Oh, yeah.
Like in a nearby distance. So it's really simple, but it just does a good job of you getting the grips with like flying around the town and stuff. And
yeah,
once
right.
Once you work out how to do it, it's really satisfying and fun to use. The art style is really cool. Like, it's very Japanese, but it's kind of, it's, I don't know, sort of steampunky, even though I generally hate steampunk kind of stuff. But, yeah, it's just got this really cool style. It's really fun. It's kind of like a big open world, but, like, yeah, you can kind of go anywhere in the town when you want and then choose to do missions. And then once you're in a mission, it becomes very linear.
Yep.
So, I don't know, it's kind of an interesting split between... Like, it's essentially an open world, but it's not... It's just still trying to be a fun video game.
Yeah.
Like, I know we talked about Mafia 3. It's kind of, I think, kind of, you know, falls apart by trying too hard to be this big cinematic experience.
Yeah.
It can turn into busy work.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, yeah. There's too much... There's just too much story, and there's just too much, like, this having to be this big cinematic experience.
And the gameplay under... lying it being actually boring and repetitive.
Totally, yeah. So this is like, this is just fun. Like, this just is like a fun mechanic, a fun video game. It definitely has its flaws coming from the fact that it is a PSN port. So sorry, a PSP or Vita, sorry, port.
Yeah.
It doesn't look amazing. The mechanic, the fact that you're kind of shifting gravity and moving all over the place, you do end up getting disoriented every now and then.
Right.
But it's forgivable because it's, first of all, I mean, it when you think about what that mechanic actually is, it should be by rights far worse.
Yeah. Right.
Like, it's only occasionally a bit of a hiccup.
Yep.
And like, so I would really recommend it. I'm really enjoying it.
Go in on number one, not wait for number two.
Well, this is what I'm about to say. Like, I realized, like, I've been playing it kind of the last few days. I'm played a fair bit of it, and then I kind of yesterday afternoon realized, like, oh, I should check in on, like, you know, because I only saw the trailer for two, having never played it before.
Yeah.
I should watch some gameplay stuff. Because I think it's out in January.
Right.
And, yeah, so watching two, I was like, oh, fuck, this looks amazing. Because it's being made for PS4.
Yep.
And they've refined the mechanic and everything.
Yeah.
So I would still recommend getting number one, just sort of familiarize yourself. I think two will hit a little harder, like if you've kind of gone through one a little bit. Like, I'm looking forward to it more now that I've kind of gotten the grips with number one.
Cool.
So I think it's pretty cheap on the PSN store. So yeah, I'd really recommend it. It's really fun.
Nice.
And yeah, it's just a fun... It feels like the kind of platformer that would come out on the 64. You know, there were heaps of games where it was like a you know, just one weird mechanic, then a fun platform game that's got a different little thing in it. All the cutscenes are told through like kind of comic book style, which is pretty cool.
Yeah,
I guess was a thing that was a limitation of being on the Vita, but they're carrying that over for the second one based on what I've seen.
Yeah,
I'm super into it.
Nice,
it's good fun. Yeah,
it does sound good. Yeah, I'll probably pick it up.
Yeah, don't do what I did, which is go into the PSN store with a $30 voucher that your friends got you for your birthday.
Yes,
see that it's only going to be $15 if you're a
PS Plus
member.
Yeah,
and go, cool, I can use my voucher and still have half of it left after I buy this, and then put the voucher code in, but then not be logged into your PS Plus thing.
Hey.
So you actually end up, all the vouchers gone, plus it cost me like $10 on top of that.
Fuck.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So basically, no one be a moron.
Yeah. What do you reckon? Do you reckon I can get that back?
I reckon you could.
I think if I email them, I should be able to get that credit.
Yeah, I think so.
What
do,
a bummer.
Do some screenshots. Take some
Hey, picks. Sony, if you're listening, at Pussy Lover on PSN.
But I also think, like, just the way it's designed, in that it's kind of open worldy, but then the missions kind of turn into levels, I kind of think that's something that we could end up seeing in this new Mario. Like, if they're turning it into, if they're going back to a galaxy sort of style of game, if it's not going to be Mario 3D World where it's
Mario
levels.
Mario 64 was a little bit. Like,
totally,
just
yeah.
20 years ago or whatever.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I think that kind of layout is something that,
and
you
Sunshine
know.
Sunshine as well,
a,
sort
Sunshine,
of.
Yeah, Sunshine is kind
in
of.
In fact, that's all Mario games.
Leap into levels.
So, yeah, I reckon we will see it.
You fucking piece of shit.
Sounds good, Tommy. I've been playing a game, speaking of the PlayStation Plus subscription service, mm-hmm. I've been playing a game that was free this month called Everybody's Gone to the Rapture.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what is that?
Okay.
I've seen that name before and always thought it was the most pretentious sounding name.
Well, I have news for you. That book's cover, absolutely accurate to the content. Right. So it's very pretty. So what happens is you start the game. It's quite well set up.
Like, wait, slow down. You start the game?
I already wonderful insight from a true journalist.
Okay, actually, before you start the game, your start screen is like an emergency warning kind of thing.
Someone
like,
runs out. Wait, the movie's been cancelled. That's all.
It actually is, when you think about it, a pretentious start. It's like, this is the emergency warning system. Make sure you are, you have, all of, and it kind of refers to like new game settings and stuff in a contextually relevant way.
Yep.
It kind of includes it in. So I don't know how better to describe it.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It kind of makes starting a new game sound like a relevant piece of advice in an emergency warning.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Thing. Yeah. Okay.
So you start the new game, you kind of just like wake up and you're like near one of my most hated like sci-fi, like highbrow sci-fi cliches, an observatory. There's always observatory with a fucking telescope on a hill.
Yeah.
So you wake up next to a telescope on a hill.
That's how you know that the person is like was wise.
Yes.
Is because they had an observatory. That happens
totally.
In so much shit, especially like exploration-y games, which I think this is, right?
And films. I think like maybe The Truman Show has an observatory.
Probably.
Yeah.
The Dish.
So you wake up next to an observatory and then there's a radio with an emergency system, like warning system. Again, like such a cliche. And it's like you just wake up in an English town called Shropshire, which is a real place. Yeah. And it's a beautiful countryside, nice little cottages and hills and things and fields. And you basically just walk through it. And as you walk through it, there'll be like a phone ringing and you'll pick it up and you'll hear someone say something about an electromagnetic disturbance or something. Yeah. Again, just like very cliched.
Mm-hmm.
And in what I think is a real cop-out in terms of game design is not only do you get information from those things that kind of are, that make sense to be there in the environment,
mm-hmm.
but also fucking floating lights and like silhouettes of people who were there before something happened.
Like ghost images sort of.
Exactly
like
that.
Like System Shock 2?
Yeah.
Did you play that? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So it's like that. So you'll be walking down a street and you'll see like a flickering light and then it'll be two people silhouetted in lights.
Come on, hurry up, Margaret. We're going to be late.
Have you played this game?
No,
literally like Wendy and Frank, have to... yeah. Did you hear about that thing up on the hill near the observatory? Frank said that there was a bit of interference coming in.
No. The man who lives up there is crazy. We shouldn't listen to him.
So, and like,
did you make this game?
Yeah. It looks really nice, but that's all it is. You just walk basically down roads through a town, mm-hmm. and this happens around you, and all you do is open doors and open cars and pick
that's
up
life,
phones.
Man.
And oh man, that's twice this episode we've done that. But that is all the game is. Right. It is revealing a very cliche. Like
thin plot, which we talked about at the time. Firewatch,
yes,
is essentially just that.
Yes,
but what it's revealing is actually, I mean, you and I thought interesting and cool.
I thought the story of that was the best part of it, but I just didn't like playing it.
Yeah, so it's basically Firewatch without any of the distinguishing factors that Firewatch had.
Right.
Yeah. That sounds boring.
It was boring, and I tried to keep playing it.
It's boring listening to you describe it.
I tried to keep playing, being like, this isn't boring,
there must be some crazy ending or something.
There must be some crazy ending, but I don't care, because if you mix in observatory on a hill, weird disturbances and interference and static, mm-hmm. and like people, disappearing or acting weird, then I probably know what's going to happen. It's just going to be like some fucking experiment gone wrong. And I don't, I don't
it
care.
It sounds like it's God in this case. Everybody's gone to the rapture.
Well, right.
It'll be God.
The title is a spoiler.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why did you call it that? It's the ending. That's the last line.
Just call it, "Where's Everyone Gone?"
That sets up a question you don't know the answer to.
It's meant to be called the Shropshire Conservatory Mysteries.
So, yeah, it's obviously like God coming through the fucking radio waves and then they all go to heaven.
Hello.
Sounds like a shit episode of Heartbeat, if you ask me.
Yeah. That was bad.
But that's free at the moment?
It's free at the moment. Okay. So if you want to waste 2 hours of your time, be my fucking guest.
You're listening to this podcast, so chances are you do.
Now, speaking of Firewatch, I started playing Firewatch again. Basically to see if it held up compared to that similar game.
Didn't they add something to it in the time
since? Yes. And I haven't played it on PS4 yet, but what they have added, they've added two things. They've added a commentary mode, you have the game developers and designers talking over it, which you can enable from the start if you're playing a new game.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And if you complete the game, you can go back in and just wander around the world and look at stuff.
So what we were trying to do here is make a really boring and clunky section that didn't really work very well.
Motherfucker, how dare you? I think it did. That's the Everybody's Gone to the Rapture commentary.
We feel like this section may not appeal to fat men who sleep in watermelon beds, but we just decided who gives a shit.
Hey boys, guess what I'm about to do? I'm going to do another segment of compare and contrast.
Oh, everybody's favorite segment.
Yeah, so as I said, with Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, you basically just like fade from black, like you wake up, you're looking around the observatory, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Firewatch.
The opening is great.
The opening is probably the best part. I've forgotten how good it is, because it's not just you making choices with the text on screen and a nice piano score in the background. It flashes in and out of your actual gameplay, so it sets up your relationship with the woman and then flashes to you in a car garage getting into a car. And then it flashes back to the relationship stuff.
Yep.
Her getting sick. It flashes to your car pulling up in the mountains.
Yeah, explain the whole game. What are you doing here?
But, well, I just think it was really well done.
Yeah,
like, it was very effective.
Parts of that were good. Like, the start and the end in particular of that game are really strong.
Yeah.
The middle is unnecessary get the impact of the start and the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I still think that the visual design of the game is what made me love the middle.
Yeah.
And I really did, and I think that holds up amazingly. So, yes.
What's the other thing they added?
The free roam after you complete the game and you complete the story, you can go back in and just walk around as if it's an open world. Which is what you didn't like doing.
Yeah.
Which I don't know, like I'll have to do it to see if there are any extra, you know, hidden secrets or whatever. You can find that turtle that none of us found.
I'm more of an Everybody's Gone to the Rapture kind of
thing. Oh, okay.
I wish you'd go to the fucking rapture. I would be really interested to play Everybody's Gone to the Rapture now.
Yeah, give it a go.
I can't. I don't have PS4.
Get it on Steam.
Nah.
Convincing argument.
I played a bit of the Fallout 4 DLC. I played Nuka World DLC, which is like a theme park. It's like a Coca-Cola theme park, but it's Nuka-Cola.
Any good?
Yeah, it's great.
Sick.
It's great. It's actually, I thought it would be like a fun little side mission. It's fucking huge.
Oh, really?
It's this big thing where you got to like go through this kind of gauntlet and you fight a big boss at the end, but then you become the boss of Nuka World and you have to like balance the factions out and do little missions for them. Cool. So it's a lot of content.
Theme park manager.
Yeah, with shooting guns. Nice. So
That's how I always thought theme parks should be run. Live weaponry everywhere.
In the deep south with a shotgun cocked.
I've been thinking about going back to Fallout 4 because I never because obviously it's huge. I didn't like finish it off. I played it for like 40 hours and didn't even finish the main story or anything. So
oh, right.
I might go back into that at some point.
I've been enjoying because I had just been dipping back in and doing some like Minutemen going and saving, you know, some villages kind of thing.
Yeah, that stuff was the kind of what made me clock out, honestly.
Right. I've enjoyed it just because you just get to go back in and have a reason for going around shooting people, which is fun. But the DLC is really good. I haven't played Far Harbor yet. I think maybe I haven't downloaded it, but I do have the season pass, so I will play it at some point.
Cool.
But yeah, it's cool.
Do we have any questions or anything like that that we...
No.
Okay.
Not really.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've talked a lot about video games.
Yes, we have. Yeah.
Should we? Are we nearly? Yeah. Should we?
wrap this baby
up. Fanny on out of here for another week.
I want to say that I watched the movie Arrival.
Oh, yeah?
Directed by Denis Villeneuve, the French, I think he's a French guy.
Yeah.
Mate, we could be French-Canadian or Belgian, you fucking idiot.
I'm not, I was laughing at the thing that you thought he might be French. I'm laughing at the way you pronounced his name.
Denis Villeneuve.
Yep. It's ridiculous, mate. So you are going to be bloody strung up by your neck for that when us lefties take over.
Jesus.
Which is happening.
Apparently. So he directed... He directed Prisoners with Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal.
I heard that's good.
That film's great.
He directed Sicario, which was great.
Fuck yeah. All right.
And he's back.
And he's back with a very good intelligent science fiction movie.
Nice. I'm going to go see that on the weekend.
Yeah, do.
Do you want to go?
I highly recommend it.
I'm going to go with my dad.
Yeah.
Tommy Dassolo.
But yeah, I
might go by myself and get a big box of popcorn and cut a hole in the bottom of it.
Oh, yeah.
Jack myself off.
Like that Mr. Bean episode.
That is a joke for four people.
Yeah. Three of which are in this room.
Yes. But yeah, it's a great movie. I do. And like, see it on VMAX or IMAX or whatever you can afford. It's very good.
See it on whatever you can afford.
Yeah.
What an ad.
Well, if you can afford a fucking IMAX ticket, go see it at IMAX.
Okay.
Because it's beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's what?
Beautiful.
It's like my daughter, be beautiful.
That's beautiful. That's what I was going for.
Oh, very nice.
I'll see it in a couple of days.
I reckon the only thing left to do before we wrap up is say to Demi Lardner, go fuck yourself. Banned from this podcast forever. We'll never have you back on.
Yeah.
Who is that? Who are you talking about?
I don't know. Some little goblin.
Some little boy who died 15 years ago.
On this very night.
Yeah, he went to the rapture.
Sometimes you could still hear his voice.
Cats!
We should also, on a very different note, contrasting to that tone.
Nice.
Say hello and a shout out and thanks to the Weekly Planet Boys.
You were about to just say the name of our show.
Yes.
Yeah, they've been. They're supporting us. They're sending people our way. So if you come over from the good ship Mason.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for taking a little chance on this.
Yeah, giving us some retweets, doing some shout outs on their show.
I can't imagine if you enjoy a podcast that's about Star Wars and Batman comics and then you come over here and hear us talking about eating a redhead's pussy for an hour. I'd love to know what you think.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
please tweet at us.
Redhead was poison ivy. There you go. Now we've done it.
Oh. Yeah. So, welcome to those new listeners because there are a lot of you.
Yeah.
Hello to the people we met at Tommy's show on the weekend as well.
Oh, yeah. Adam was on a live little Dum Dum Club that we did. And there were quite a few. Yeah, there's a few. There's some crossover there.
That was cool. It was nice to meet all of you.
We should all of you but one.
We don't plug this enough.
We should say Ben and I run a weekly comedy gig in Melbourne Tuesday night at the Catfish in Fitzroy. If you look up Catfish Comedy on Facebook and Twitter and stuff, you can find us on there.
Yep.
We have great comedians on every week. We have people off the telly, people who've been on this show.
Yeah.
I'm on a bit. Nox, you're on a bit.
Yep.
Ben, you're there behind the sound desk.
Yeah.
Your sketch group has been booked in, I think, three times and you've pulled out of two of those.
Yeah. We'll be back, though. We might even be back sometime this year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
We were just talking about it before you turned up.
Yeah.
We had half an hour in which to do that.
You had 7 minutes.
Well, Tommy was early.
Okay, give us the socials. What do we got?
At FilthyCastPod on Twitter, FilthyCasuals on Facebook, filthycasuals.pod@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like to donate to our show to help us buy our little video games to play, it's paypal.me/filthypod.
Nice.
And I will say that we have not yet had enough donations to buy a single game. So if you want us to play a game, like really badly, donate the amount of money it will cost us to buy that game.
Yes.
Yeah, and then we'll do it. If you give a specific request with a donation, then absolutely we'll follow that request.
Exactly. Spend an afternoon, all three of us gathered around the old fucking wireless.
I can
imagine
just getting a whole bunch of things going like, maybe go jump off a bridge.
Well, we'll have to all gather around that railing.
Thanks very much for listening, guys. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
I'm not sure if I feel comfortable with all the pussy eating jokes.
That's only because you didn't make any.
Uh-huh. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.